Yes, hello and welcome.
Welcome!
Welcome!
To the Fox Football Podcast.
This could be fun.
This has set the tone for the next 45 minutes, I think. Adam Peacock, alongside a man who can't wait to get to the gym, so we're going to get through this as quickly as possible, Robbie Slater.
Yes.
How are you, Rob?
I'm fine.
What are you, Rob?
I don't know how I'll be in about 35 minutes or however long this torture is going to go for, but... looking forward to it. A good chat.
And a man we've put into his contract once a month. We asked for once a week. He said once a month. That's probably enough. He does have
once
a lot
every
of his
6 months, Adam.
6 months, yeah. Okay. Mark Bosnich in
hello,
the podcast.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
It's my first time I'm doing one of these cast pods.
Yeah. Could be the last.
It could be the last. How are you, boss?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
How's your off-season? I'm great. How's your off-season been?
Magnificent. Really good. Mm. Well, it's not really an off-season.
Well, you haven't really had an off-season. You're
yeah, it's not bosses. Really an off-season. And, like, you know, football's kicked off pretty much all around the world. We're just waiting now for the A-League to start.
Bill and Boz firing on all cylinders?
Well, yeah, Bill is, as usual. he's been absolutely fantastic. I just add my little bit, you know, like a co-star, so to speak. But we've had some fantastic guests on. We'll be getting both yourselves on as well as the football season starts now, especially here in Australia. There's a lot of issues, I think, that you want to cover here this morning as well. I'd really like to get both your thoughts because, Adam, you have a son who's young in the system. And Robbie, you've had a son that's in the system.
And another one.
And another one that's coming
who's
off.
About not to go into the system, but we'll get on to that later.
And, I'd dearly love to really get the chat talking about what I think is the most crucial issue long-term for Australian football is to basically make football more affordable for people.
100%. And but I want to ask a quick question, Boz. So when you're sitting there with Bill and Boz, right, you're always on your frigging phone. So what are you looking at?
Text and tweets. Yeah.
You sure?
Because text and tweets. Because when text and tweets come in,
what do you think
I've got to make sure.
I know what he's looking at.
It's text and tweets.
Text and tweets.
Yeah. I've got to make sure that they're
TNT.
Read out and what's in it. Yeah. Because we try to read out as many texts and tweets as we possibly can.
Is there some that you'd sort of go,
well, if they're rude. I don't mind reading out one if they say, okay, Mark Bosnich, I don't agree with you, you're an idiot. That's no problem. But if it's sort of like... if it starts, you know, getting a little bit rude that you can't, I mean, it's a show on TV. I don't think it's appropriate to read out that type of stuff.
No, I think you're right. I think it's very well. But it does look, it looks playing with your phone.
I want to, one last one on your existence over there. Sometimes I see you on the Paul
His
Murray
existence?
Show.
Let's not get into the very existence.
Yeah. Paul Murray show.
Yeah.
Would you want to, if Sky News came to you and said, go over to politics and maybe interview Trump like Paul Murray did. Would you like to do that?
I'm a soldier, Adam.
Which
means when you're a soldier, you take orders. And if I get ordered to do so, I will do it.
You've watched too much television.
Let's get into it. Watford's army didn't quite...
I'll tell you what, lucky... you know what, you got to say, but lucky they sacked the coach because if they didn't, it could have been 12 or 15.
So I think well, to be honest, at 17 minutes or the 18th minutes, 5-0, I thought Watford did quite well to keep it to 8.
8-0 against Manchester City. Mm. Embarrassing or brilliant? Which side
look,
of the equation do you look at it?
There's two sides and I had to go back. I was just thinking, wow. And it was. I think the record is back in my year when we won the Premier League with Rovers, United smashed Ipswich 9-1.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find any other scores that looked even close to what we saw transpire. Yeah, both sides. Manchester City were brilliant, and you've got to be very careful not to take too much away from what they produced. It was an extraordinary first half an hour, but you have to say some of the defending was...
not great.
Not great.
You couldn't pick the side that had one recognised central defender starting the match, put it that way. And Fernandinho slotted in there for Manchester City, and Guardiola's obviously quite comfortable with him there because...
Mate, to be honest, you could have played Mickey Mouse at centre-back for Manchester City.
And Donald Duck.
And and Donald Duck at right fullback, who does a decent job. He's got a good engine. But,
just on Fernandinho, you know he's got a tactics board at home. He's that into it. He might be on the coaching staff of Manchester City before too long. Who was the biggest football nerd that you guys played with?
When you say football nerd, like just loved his football.
Just like besotted by the
game. Oh,
just
football
like,
nerd.
Yeah, it's like have a day off, mate. Like just enjoy life a bit more. He's just besotted by the game.
I never used to say that to them, but you okay, Rob? I never used to say that to them, but look, because I used to think, okay, that's their poise, that's what they love. Some people just love football. So I wouldn't say football nerd, I'd say football academic. And I probably the biggest football academic that I played with, I would say would have to be
Mark Bosnich.
No, I'd say Gary Neville. You can see now with his TV stuff, that's a good show, how he is. And like I said, I wouldn't say football. No, I'd say football academic. He was just and sport in general. He loved his sport.
Mm.
From the Villa days, probably Sean Teal, who was the central defender in the first couple of years. And from the Chelsea days,
Frank?
No. No, but no. Even if he was, even if Frank was, he never showed. Like, but Frank,
well, you weren't there long enough anyway.
Yeah, but Frank was highly intelligent. I mean, he was highly intelligent, so he was. You know, he could talk about any subject. Somebody who really knew their football scenes. Graham Lasso.
Okay.
Yeah, I was saying Blackburn. Yeah. Graham Lasso. The other one for me was Tony Gale. Great character at Blackburn. Former West Ham legend as well. He does a lot of commentary as well. But he was across everything, particularly his punting. Oh
dear.
Yeah, he loved the GGs.
Fantastic.
He was.
Brilliant. That's not a way forward.
Yeah, this podcast is sponsored
but West Ham.
By Ladbrokes.
West Ham was, there was a lot of talent, but probably not in that sort of respect.
Johnny Moncur, no?
Johnny Moncur was a rat bag.
Oh, okay.
But a greatest rat bag.
Okay, just, fair enough.
No, he was very good.
But he knew his stuff. Tim Sherwood knows his football.
Tim Sherwood, Tim Sherwood. So, look, I think probably all of us, we loved our football, didn't we? But
yeah, but I'm saying that you could sit down and talk to him. Yeah.
Watford. On to Watford.
Mm-hmm.
Delafeu, magnificent stat, 13 of 14 completed passes, 8 of them from the kickoff.
Mm.
Whoops. Flores, the manager, the new old manager, new manager. He said after it, the Spaniard, this was a report in the Times, the Spaniard said his job was to now wipe the players' minds clean of the trauma. Football changes, he smiled. It is different to 20, 30 years ago when you lose like that and you make the players run for 2 hours in the forest with lots of kilos on your back. Coaches have to be more sensible now. It is not about to run more. It is about being clever and smart.
Yeah. Mm. Train smarter, not harder, I guess, but... Look,
it's the old cliche, yeah. Boz, isn't it? Better to be beaten once 8-0 than 8 times 1-0.
Well, okay. Being a goalkeeper, I understand where you're coming from, but being a goalkeeper, I couldn't,
I'd
go the 8-1-0s because they cop 8 goals. It must be devastating. Look, the big thing is for them that they've got Wolverhampton next week. There's two teams only left in the Premier League that haven't won a game.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're playing. Are they playing in the League Cup during the week? Let's just have a quick look.
The quicker they can play, the better it is. What they've got to do is they've got to get a little bit of Harry Redknapp's mentality.
Mm.
Which was?
Oh, brilliant.
Well, they've got Swansea on Tuesday.
I remember it was just before halftime. I can't remember the game, but it was Premier League game and we're playing away. I think we're winning 1-0 at the start. No, we were losing 1-0 at home. It might have been Villa. No, that was the time you beat us 3-0. No, I don't think it was that game. But anyway, our big centre-half, Mark Reaper, Danish international, he went up for a header about a minute to go before half-time. Head clash, bang, out conscious, out cold. Out cold. And anyway, they've taken him off on the stretcher and Harry didn't make a substitution because it was so close to half-time. So he's probably thinking, let's get to half-time and we'll make a decision. Anyway, so we go into the dressing room and the dressing room at Epton Park's quite small in those days. And the medical room, you could hear everything that was going on. And anyway, Harry's in there and he's umming and ahhing. And as he's walking out, he's turned around and he said, so, well, you know, what's the go with him to the doctor? And the doctor said, look, Harry, he says, it's impossible. I said, he doesn't even remember who he is. And Harry turned around and he looked back and he said, well, just tell him he's bleeding Palais and getting back out there.
And did it work out?
It did work out. He went out. Look, in today's game, he would never have, you know, you would never have gone back out, but a bit of Harry's psychology.
Mm. Harry's psychology.
It's going to be difficult for them. Like I said, they got Swansea in the League Cup on Tuesday night, their time, Wednesday morning, our time. So ideally for them, they need to start off with a win. If they lose against Swansea and then lose again against Wanderers, I can see the Pozzo family.
Who are they playing on the weekend?
Getting rid of
Wolves. Away.
Oh, this thing.
I can see the Pozzo family maybe making another change.
Another
kick it for us, yeah.
They're not having a good time either, Wolves, are they?
They're only two teams that haven't won a game yet.
Late equaliser.
As you said. Do you remember a loss that you've had which was so indescribably bad that you...
Yeah, I only had, I think it was 3-4s ever, four-one or 4-0 losses. And the biggest loss I ever had, funny enough, I think it was against Blackburn.
Wasn't it against Saudi Arabia? Was it against Brazil playing for the Socceroos?
Yeah, I'm talking about... Okay. I'm talking about...
English Premier
League. Yeah. Was 5 Club against football. Blackburn. And I think Kevin Gallagher scored a hat-trick that day. I think
that was the year before I went. That's when they finished second.
No, it was later. It was about 97 or something like that.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it was very – it's always very, very difficult, obviously, in that situation. I know what they're saying in terms about, oh, you know, he's right what he's saying. Okay, football's moved on for maybe running him for 3 days or whatever, but you've got to change something because you can't just keep going and just say that's acceptable.
You go out and have a night out, a blowout?
Well, not if you've got a match in another 3 days' time, which what
those days are over.
Yeah. Watford have got a game against Swansea. So what are you going to do? What, they're going to go out on a Sunday and then get beat by Swansea and get beat by Wolves? I don't think so, my friend.
No, light training.
Make change. They've got to make changes. They've got to make changes to that side. They will anyway. They probably were planning that anyway against Swansea. But then if people come in against Swansea and do well, they've got to seriously consider keeping them in.
Robert?
Any, yes.
Massive losses.
Yeah, got smashed. I've got another story.
Got
smashed at Everton 1 year with Kanchelskis when he'd gone from Manchester United so quick. Yeah. Anyway, we're playing up there. It was Southampton, that's right. And anyway, it was 4-0 after about it was 2-0 after about 9 minutes. Then it went on, and then one of our midfielders got sent off. So as soon as he said, you know, you've got to drop in and get closer together. I was playing on the right, so be nice and compact. Anyway, that was 2-0, and then halftime was 5-0. So when at halftime, Souness was chewing on a wasp, a rather large one, and he's looked and he said da da da, and he said, "You lot in the midfield." He said, "Robbie, what are you doing out there?" He says, "Yeah, I told you to tuck in and that." I said, "Look, yeah, Gaffer." I said, "You know, when Jimmy went off, I said, I had to cover two positions. I like two players out there." And he's looked and he just stopped for a moment. He said, "Yeah, you're both having a bloody nightmare."
What was he like, Souness? Was he fantastic. As angry as he looks on television?
Nah, great guy.
Mm. Yeah?
Mate, so many, like Boz will tell you, there's so many personas you see in the media look, he could get angry, but outside of it, such a relaxed person and, mate, a legend for me, you know, for the great Liverpool team. What a midfielder.
Was Roy Keane like that? Roy Keane described as a relaxed person?
No. I wouldn't say he's a relaxed person. I would say he's a very serious person, but he had to be. And one that obviously when he came in, you know, it was work time. It was, you know, we've got to – and you saw recently now, I watched him little tidbits of him last night, you know, and the way he hasn't changed much in terms of that. And he's exactly right, all the things he's saying. And, you know how he's saying now he's right. You know, like for a lot of clubs, just getting in the top four – you know, and it's spoken about openly would be an achievement. But he said, and he's right, in the Old Trafford referendum, they would never speak about just getting in the top four. That's completely understandable. But I think that's, you know, that's a real hark to a real contrast between, I wouldn't say the old days per se, but I would say somebody who's a pure winner. And now, obviously, that there are certain circumstances these days where, look, and it's, it is different because, how many teams do you think honestly can win the Premier League right now?
Two.
All right. So it's difficult, I would say, for some of those other sides to not to say, well...
But the old days was similar. I mean, Liverpool dominated for such a long time. Yeah, but United dominated.
Yeah, but where it wasn't similar is, do you think in Liverpool's dressing room during their dominating years that Bob Paisley, bless his soul, or Ronnie Moran or Roy Evans would have had if people started saying, oh, as long as we get in the top three? Or,
no chance.
Well, there you go. So, that's,
and I remember
Kenny. The difference, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the big clubs want success.
That's what I mean.
So, I remember with Kenny Dalglish at Blackburn Rovers when we went to the Charity Shield and we lost 2-0 to. You know, it was my first game in England.
Can you actually stop right there?
I'm not telling that story. It's not the right place and right time. Go, come on, tell the story. We only got 45 minutes. It takes 15.
Well, you just talk for bleeding 10 of them about Roy Keane. I remember Kenny Dalglish, and it's something that stuck with me right till today. And we'd lost the Charity Shield 2-0 to Manchester United, and Kenny looked around and he said, Shearer and Sutton didn't play. They were rested for the Southampton game, which was the opening game of the Premier League the week later. And he said, look, the important thing about today is not the result. He said, the important thing about this is to be here next year. Mm. So in saying that meant that you either won the cup or you've won the championship. Yep. So I thought it was a really smart comment.
Mm. As opposed to you being at Aston Villa with Bozza, and that's the story.
Well, I should have been at that barbecue, but, you know, I had the coin to calling. Last bad first game in England.
Just to let people know, without going through the whole story, because we do not have time, because it's an elongated story, and one day we will get to it. Robbie was perhaps going to sign with Aston Villa, and the first thing that Aston Villa's squad found out that he wasn't signing was when they saw him lining up for God Save the Queen of Wembley. Unfortunately.
Well, when Kenny called, I had to go. You know, if you want a secret to get out, it was till Bozza. So
Robbie is born in, you have to say, the greater Liverpool, or the greater Merseyside
Ormskirk,
era.
Yeah.
Ormskirk.
Yeah.
And Kenny Dalglish.
Or as Alan Jones would say, Ormsky.
Yeah. And Kenny Dalglish, understandably, is a god to people who grew up.
Well, I remember going up to meet him, Bozza.
Yeah.
I remember going up the motorway that I'd just spoken to Ron Atkinson. And I remember meeting him, and I couldn't talk.
Mm.
And he was saying things, and I have no idea to this day what he said. But all as I said is to my agent, I turned around and I said, I want to sign.
Did you take
And when you think about those things, I don't remember. I've got another good story.
Who was your agent? Was a French one or
no? David Hodgson. Remember him? Another super sub for Liverpool.
Oh, okay.
David Hodgson.
Yeah,
and signed me at Blackburn, never heard from him again. Anyway, that reminds me when you say, you know, you talk and you don't remember what he said and it didn't matter what he said. Anyway, I was going to tell you a story, but it's going to go a bit too long. So
save it for next week.
It's a good one.
The week after. Mm. Yeah. We're a long time on this podcast to tell some stories.
Have we?
So, yeah.
Oh, I thought it
was. No, throughout the course of the year.
Oh, I thought it was the
course of the season. Spurs, are they on the verge of disintegration?
No. No, I don't think they are. I just think that everything's caught up with them a little bit. I kind of expected this more last season, straight after the World Cup, because the amount of players they had involved in the World Cup and the fact that he didn't increase the squad. But it's happened the season after. Another big season for them last season. I mean, Champions League to get in that final was absolutely an amazing achievement.
Mm.
They haven't had the best of starts. The Christian Eriksen thing, and of course, Lloris wasn't playing as well on the weekend, is very difficult. When you miss your best player, I don't care where you are, what sport you play, you're missing your best player. It's going to make a difference. And like I said, I just sense, and even some of the words that were coming out from Pochettino during pre-season and, when he said that basically I'm really a coach, I'm not a manager. For me, that was him basically saying, you know,
I don't have control.
Well, I don't know. He's got control of the playing squad to coach.
Not at the club.
But in terms of being able to purchase players when he wants, and although then you heard Mourinho say yesterday as well that he was crying last season for a central defender. So, you know, it's not the only place that it happens. But very disappointing. I know it was a controversial incident, you have to say, when they were...
Were you okay with VAR?
I was okay with it because, so far as I'm concerned, and since it started, and as I've said to everybody, the decision's been made. It's going to be a part of football. So I know, I hear what people are saying about clear and obvious, but the only thing out of those four things that are the main things about VAR, which you can't say clear and obvious, is offside. It's either offside or it's not. So whether or not you've got half a millimetre or it's 4 metres, if it's offside, it's offside. But you've got to think to yourself as well, how would Leicester feel if they turn around and said, oh, look, it wasn't that much, we'll let it go. Yeah, so I was fine with it. The bottom line is he was offside. And that's the way it goes. Simple as that. Yeah. I think Tottenham's.
They got the one in the Chelsea game, right?
Yeah, I think Tottenham's. Like I said, problems. They won't get to the point where they collapse. And I still think that they're a good chance of making the top four. I don't know how they go in the Champions League. That'll be a different story altogether. But I think that you'll find this, especially if Eriksen goes. That they'll have a bit of a rejig and probably try to form a new team.
Yes, I'm here. Do you think it's responsible to take an 8-year-old to see It 2, the final chapter? Do you think that's responsible?
No, it's not.
Is that? Did you see It, the first one?
No, but I've seen the promos, and there's no way in the world I want to go.
Is it MA?
Yeah.
15 plus or something.
Yeah, the kid won't sleep for a week, so don't do it. I've got another question for you, though, Robbie.
Okay.
If you were to sit here and say, okay, something very valuable, your car. Your car...
You know what? I used to have a Porsche.
And now?
911 Turbo.
Yeah.
I got a beautiful Hyundai, but I got divorced twice.
Okay. So if I was to say that you'll get your Porsche back, if you get this question right, who's going to finish higher, Manchester United or Spurs?
Spurs.
Why are you so definitive with that?
Because United are going to implode.
Really?
Look at their lineup. I haven't seen a Manchester United lineup like that for so long. And that's no disrespect to the players in there, but we're talking about Manchester United here.
They do look like they're a club that's halfway between trying to promote their youth and buy into
quality. They just look like a club in trouble. And it's not an easy fix. I watched the game, West Ham. West Ham were very good. Mm. And West Ham have now beaten them 3 out of the last 5 times. Mm. So they've got a pretty good record.
I tipped
West Ham to win it. Mm. But United just look disjointed. They don't look happy.
So you'd rather watch it than a Manchester United game at the
moment? I'm still grappling with that. But there's no way the eight-year-old's going.
Does that Manchester United lineup disgust you?
I think Tottenham finish ahead of Manchester United. I still think the top six will be the top six.
Okay. Mm. Boz, are you disappointed in that lineup that you saw in terms of where the club's at
and not where I know Ole wants to go. He wants to sort of, basically start bringing through youth and sort of build from the start. And when you do that, it takes time, number one. Mm. And number two, there's going to be a lot of pain along the way. Obviously, Paul Pogba would make a huge difference to that lineup that first started. Look, the one thing I did say when they got rid of Lukaku was that what surprised me was the fact that they didn't have somebody, or maybe they did, but they didn't bring somebody in beforehand or as he was going to Inter that they would have somebody in.
Lined up,
I think that was obviously a mistake, in my opinion.
But they just wanted him out of the club, obviously.
Okay.
Sanchez.
Yeah, okay.
Get out.
Fair enough. But, you don't cut your nose to spite your face, in my opinion. Yeah, you could have done with him big style there yesterday. Look, James has been a fantastic signing. Juan Bissaka will be fantastic. Maguire so will be. But it's going to take time, Adam. Mm. And we saw what happened with Liverpool after that dominance that Robbie spoke about for 20 years throughout the 70s and 80s.
And all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden, 30 years.
It's been, what, since 19...
30 years.
Yeah, 1990, yeah, 30, basically. 1991, actually, I think it is, Adam, because, 92 was the last... Well, 91, 92 was the last year of the First Division. That was Leeds. Mm.
That's right. So...
Look, like I said to you, this is what's going to occur. Unless they just turn around and go, say, a la Chelsea, say, early when Abramovich first turned up, in 2003, 2004. But they're not going to do that. It's quite simple. Mm. So they're going, and it's going to be a lot of pain. And eventually, I think he will get it right, but it's going to take time.
Just quickly back to Christian Eriksen. Mm. You guys have been in situations where your contract's running down. There was you popped up in the Daily Mail last week about you being linked to Juventus.
I know.
How about that?
Yeah.
What is it like? What is coming at you as a player when you're out of contract in the Premier League?
Well, look,
or you're coming out of contract.
The thing that crosses your own mind from a player's perspective is that, and the clubs were within the rights to do it. They could just turn around and say, right, you're for this season, you're sitting on the bench. So you have to prepare yourself for that. And obviously there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with the club in terms of the negotiation. But the bottom line is you've got to know exactly what you want. And if you are willing to pay the price of sitting on the bench, then so be it. The Juventus thing, I'll never forget it because it was, I think it was April 21st, 1999, was when Man United played Juventus in the second leg in Turin. And I was flying to Turin during that game. And I met the following day on the Thursday with Luciano Moggi, Gerardo.
This is when you were still at Villa.
Yeah, Roberto Bettiga, Carlo Ancelotti, which was like, wow, because he was taking over the following season. The agent who was in control of the deal was in there, my ex-wife was there, and also the interpreter. So, and I had it in my mind that, and there was no disrespect to Aston Villa whatsoever, although a lot of people thought it that way, is that I, after 7 years, would like to leave, and I wanted to win a title. So that was my main. It wasn't about money or anything like that. It was about I wanted to win a title. Mm. And like I said, I was willing to pay that price. I'd been injured anyway, so it was like sitting on the bench was probably... pretty much, I had that in my mind that I could do that, but I had got injured with I wouldn't say serious shoulder injury, but a bad one. It was out for 3 months, so I had time in it anyway. But that was my main focus. Wherever I was going to go. I wanted to go to the place which I thought that would have the best chance of winning trophies.
What was the dinner like? Was it nice? Did you get treated well?
No, it wasn't a dinner. It was a meeting. I'd done a medical and everything like that during the day, and then I went up to meet with everyone, and then after that, the agent who was in charge, my fiance at the time, Sarah, and the interpreter. Then we went for dinner in Turin. It was beautiful.
Daunting the meeting, or you don't know what to say?
No, not at all. Very, very straightforward. They're all good people. Very, very good people. And set the tone early, and so did they in terms of just being brutal and basically saying what I said to you. And asked a few things, obviously, about those little of intricacies and that about the contract and that. And I said I'd get back to them. Which I did on the weekend. That's all.
And what'd you say?
I just said, look, I had a massive, massive think about it, and I said, I regret to inform you that no, I've decided not to come.
And you, 20 years later, you could be sitting here talking fluent Italian.
Well, yeah, very true, very true. And I think, look, you know, when you look back, you look back and you say, okay, yeah. But then the bottom line is, as I said to somebody the other day who rang me from England and spoke about the same thing. The following season at Man United, I won two trophies. The following season, Juventus didn't win a trophy. They could have won the Serie A. They didn't. They got knocked out by Celta Vigo, or Celta Vigo, as Robbie calls it.
Celta Vigo.
They got knocked out by Celta Vigo in the Europa.
On Villarreal.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have won a Premier League, and I wouldn't have won a World Club Championship. So there you go.
So you don't have any regrets?
Never have any regrets about anything.
You can't regret.
Yeah, you've got to move on. About nothing?
In life?
In life?
No.
Full stop?
No. Why?
I don't know.
You do what you have to do.
Past is the past.
As long as you've got good intentions, I don't see what the problem is.
Exactly. As long as you're having a good time doing it.
Life lessons with Mark Bosnick.
Ah, here we go.
Is it fun being out of contract, Robbie? Because you've got many opportunities to further not only just financial consideration, but the opportunity to grow as a person, as a footballer, and perhaps open up the possibility of winning something like you did with Blackburn.
Yeah, well, I got offered mine was very much a decision. I grew up watching Match of the Day. I grew up, my parents obviously from Liverpool, mad Scousers, big Liverpool. I was a mad Liverpool fan. My heroes were Dalglish and the Souneses and the Hansons and the Lawrensons and the Kennedys and the McDermotts, the Rushes, all of these great players and the great Liverpool team. To grow up with that was a real privilege when you think of what's happened since. So my dream was, and I had a fantastic time in France. Like the
you
best
went Anderlecht, Lens.
And France was life-changing because I learned another language. I met my first wife and the culture, and it was amazing. But they offered me another 3 years. I was coming to the end of my contract, and I very respectfully declined. And it was quite emotional because I'd made so many good friends at Lens, and still to this day, speak to people from that club. But I wanted to play in the Premier League. I wanted to play in England. It wasn't about the money. Honestly, and I'll tell you now, I moved to Blackburn and I was earning less money than I was in France because it wasn't about the money.
Wouldn't happen now, but
happen now. God.
But back then,
Before now. talk about a Porsche, I'd have 18 of them. Look, and so when I went, it was very much a decision of I wanted to play in England. Of course, I went to Blackburn, and it's funny what Bozza said about winning something, because when I was going to sign with Aston Villa, and I was going to sign, I'd basically agreed terms and didn't shake on it. It wasn't to that point. But that afternoon, obviously, the manager rang. David Hodgson, obviously, ex-Liverpool, Kenny Dalglish obviously knew each other, and, you know, Kenny said, we've got to go up the road, Kenny wants to sign you, and I didn't need Dan anymore. And that was no disrespect to Ron or Aston Villa, where I passed a great...
You made the right decision, Ron.
Yeah. Well, what happened is a guy called Rick George, who wrote for France Football as a correspondent, but he also wrote for the Liverpool Echo. In Liverpool, he's a good friend of mine. He'd contact me, you know, being a... Australian in France. And I said to him on the way up, when I got up there, I was in the Duncan House, which was the hotel I stayed at when I signed for Blackburn. And I spoke to him and I said, look, I've got Villa and I had such a good week and, you know, Boz is there. And I said, York was such a good guy and Saunders got on really well with him.
Dane Saunders.
And he said, I haven't really spent any time. I just met Kenny and da-da-da. And he said, Robbie, he said, just think... one thing, Blackburn will win something this year.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know what they're going to win, but he said they will win something this season. And that's why, that's basically why I went to Blackburn.
Last one on this subject. When you turn someone down because you know that you've got something else and you obviously can't say front out to whoever you're turning down, oh, no, I'm going so-and-so, it's your business.
I did.
You did? Yeah. You just said, I'm going to Man U. See you later. Thanks very much, Juventus. Do you feel like like you're letting someone, you're burning a bridge, or is it just football, everyone just gets
football.
On with it?
It's just football. I mean, me personally, I feel terrible. I still feel terrible to this day because I would have loved to, I mean, it was, you know, it was an ambition of mine to play in Italy, so, but I had unfinished business and I just, you know, I just thought that's all. I was looking, in the end, you don't mean in any type of disrespect to this, and you should never say never, but you have to understand from their point of view as well. Of course, they're going to be disappointed. Of course, they're going to be upset because, you know,
they got to go and find someone else.
Well, not only that. I mean, you know, they
wanted you.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's rejected.
Laid out the red carpet. You know, and so.
But it's interesting because, yeah, it was hard for me to leave Lens. I had a new 3-year deal. I could have stayed there. So they wanted me to stay. I wanted to stay, but I had to go.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? So, you know.
No hard feelings.
Sliding doors. You know, you turn left, you go this.
You won the Premier League, Rob, didn't you? So did I.
That's it.
I like to think that Boz is making up for lost times by spending. Once a week at least, at Machiavelli's eating Italian food. So three times a week, I should say.
Great restaurant. Three times.
Four times.
I think we're due to go there. I miss
Sonia. He's got his own table there, don't you?
Yeah, I know, because he sends me bleeding photos every time he's there.
Of the food?
Yeah.
No, of the first course.
The first course. And can I tell you, there's courses that come after it.
Hey, FFA Cup, let's bring it back home. Let's speak a little local football.
FA Cup hasn't started yet, buddy.
FFA Cup.
Oh, sorry.
Marvellous.
FFA Cup. What's impressed you most about it? Who's impressed you most?
Craig Noon.
Melbourne City.
Yeah.
Craig Noon's been...
He can take over from there. Melbourne City in general.
Craig Noon's been, for me, the outstanding performer in the FFA Cup / pre-season. And Melbourne City, yeah, they look good. Mombarts is... obviously got his ideas and they were rather pleasing in the eye.
Closely followed by the holders.
Yeah, Adelaide United. But it's still early to tell because, you know, there's not many games that have been played. Like there was a round of 32-16. Mm. So, you know.
Do we eventually have this competition during the regular season, Rob? You think eventually? Like, you know, I mean, not as a pre-season type of thing, have it eventually?
Mm. No, I reckon you move it the other way to suit the NPL clubs a bit more. Why? I'd like to see that. Why?
Yeah.
Because I think the NPL clubs are the lifeblood of Australian football.
They are, but I think everybody should be playing at the same season. I think.
Yeah, like
I
said, well, there's that. I
mean? Yeah.
Well,
I don't understand why you want to, you know what I mean? So if you have it during the same season, during the same time.
Same time, yeah.
Yeah, then I just think, and I don't think it should be also that the NPL clubs get an automatic semi-final.
I think they should rejig that
now.
Yeah,
oh, now,
for next
season.
In
the next couple of years.
Yeah. No, for next season, I think they should definitely.
Because I think
next season.
You know, there will be a second division. It's only a matter of time and when. And I just think that you know everyone should be sort of basically playing at the same time and seeing and getting a gauge of how much they need to and what they need to do and how far they need to go.
There's only one way that that's going to work out though if they move A League back to winter because they can't move NPL, youth league, junior football. To summer.
Okay.
It's just not possible.
It's not going to happen.
Because you can't play.
It's impossible.
It's just impossible.
What about that? What happened? What happened?
Oh, that was your one from last season, wasn't it?
What happened? And secondly, Adelaide. Yeah, Adelaide.
I just want to explain to the listeners that there are some quirky things that happen behind the scenes, and those things we were just saying there as a
one
stupid headphones
right then,
go
yeah.
flying off the table. Yeah, Bozic comes out with some things, you know, normally while he's eating his fried rice, which yeah, some grains start flying all over the spot.
And speaking about...
And because he's very passionate.
Because, now, Robbie asked me off scene, this is what we thought, you know, he goes, tell me the name of the manager of Adelaide again. I said, that's Gerton... I said it like this, Gerton Verbeek, right? So, but, you know,
get
Robbie...
He said,
No, what about
but
this one, Adam?
Speaking about that, Robbie, they've impressed me too. The young son, Toure, the young boy up front, has been excellent.
Yeah.
They seem to be playing really good football. You know, Ryan Kiddo seems to be doing really, really well. And they've, like I said, especially the fact they've been holders as well, really impressed
Most
me. I mean, I thought Newcastle might beat them, but they didn't. And
he's a black belt or something like that, or is he
Hi-ya!
Martial arts expert?
Bozza. Bozza.
Okay. Herton Verbeek.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, don't mess with him.
Okay.
Do not criticise his team too much.
I still reckon I can run faster.
There you go.
Now, talking about quirky things.
What about the Mariners, Rob?
I'm going to get to the Mariners in a minute. I've got to tell a story about you first.
Okay.
We're outside the other day, right? The FFA Cup's on and we're outside and there's this really lovely guy and he works upstairs.
Me.
And Anyway, Bozza started talking to him. And this guy, I mean, this is like the dinner
brothers.
And he's asking about the family and this and that. And I thought, wow, this is really good. So I just sort of minded my own business. They must have talked for 5 or 6 minutes, which was quite a long time when you put a stopwatch on.
Yeah.
And you go, anyway, the guy, obviously I know him as well, and I just couldn't remember his name. And I said, yeah, see you, mate, that only went off. And I went, oh, Boz. I said, he seems like, you know, he knows a bit, but he's a nice bloke. Oh, mate, terrific guy. I've known him for 9 years. I said, he's just a lovely guy and that. And I go, oh, what's his name? And he went, I don't know.
I forgot.
And I looked at him, I said, what do you mean? You've known him for 9 years. He's a lovely guy. You're talking about the family. And he goes, well, I don't know. What about the other one? This is a good one as well, another Bozza. So it was FFA Cup night and Western Sydney Wanderers, and they've got some, and full credit to Ian Crook, who runs their youth, they get some wonderful players that are playing actually
everywhere.
In other teams.
Yeah, everywhere.
But anyway, there was this whiz kid that was supposedly coming on. He was on the bench and that. And anyway, so Bozza.
Mohammed Adams.
So we go outside again, and this is the game the other night. So anyway, Bozza looks at me. He goes, "Oh, they're about to bring on this whiz kid, mate. He's unbelievable." They told me he's just fantastic, and it's going to be. And I went, "Oh right, yeah." I said, "Well, what's his name?" You? Well, I don't know.
Details. All about details.
It's all about details.
Bozza.
Yes, buddy.
Just on the subject, I've got a bit of an update on something that worries me a little bit because. I'm a big proponent of the A-League bringing through our best young players. So the situation that we're all at the moment, sorry to keep you up.
That's right, Ben.
The situation we're at the moment is with the clubs, in principle, all of them want to bring in a 6th foreigner in the A-League.
Yep.
And then eventually maybe get it to 7.
Yep.
That's how it is at the moment. Yep. However, they know that the clubs can't get it through in the breakup of the FFA, the separation of the FFA and the A-League, that they can't just bring it in. It doesn't just operate under the competition regulations, which say extending the bench will. They want to extend the bench from 5 to 7, have a couple of...
Because this affects the whole of the game. Yeah.
This affects the whole of the game. So they have to get it through the FFA board. So that the preliminary stage of working out how they get from 5 to 6 foreigners, all the clubs want it. It's not going to come in this season, won't come in January. They don't want to bring it in midstream.
Fair enough.
They want to bring it in for next season. Mm. However, there's a school of thought is you can't do this without extending the joke that is the youth league at the moment, which is at 8 games. Everyone knows it needs to extend it, but it's a cost thing. If they just extend the foreigner rule, well, young Australian players have got less opportunity to play in the A-League. I'm dead against that until they bring in the youth league.
Not if they're good enough. Look, the bottom line is that the league has stagnated for whatever reason it may be for the last, I would say, 2 to 3 seasons. So whether that's, like I said, that might be a whole compilation of ideas. But the bottom line is purely this, and I say this from experience, and Rob's experience as well. Any league around the world... that you look at that's really improved exponentially. And I mean, when I say improved exponentially, I'm not talking about sort of leagues that have, you know, we saw Ernie Merrick mention about the Scottish League because he, you know, saying, you know, that they, with the foreigners and this, that and the other, the biggest problem with the Scottish League is that for too long there was just 2 dominant sides, that's all. And then for a time there was only 1 dominant side because of what happened to Rangers. Any league that's really exponentially has exceeded, you know, expectations or whatever you want to call it, or have improved their standard, have allowed as many foreigners as they possibly can. I've heard this argument before about protecting local players, and for me, like I said, I haven't seen evidence that that's the case, because I truly believe whether or not it's a foreign manager or a manager that's here from Australia or wherever it may be around the world. If they had 2 boys or 2 girls that were of equal ability, equal character, equal everything, they would always go for the home base one. That's my genuine opinion. But like I said, coming back to the thing, you need to have that option. You're only talking about a third of the squad.
So you reckon it should be 6 foreigners?
Well, 6 at this moment in time, I don't see any problem. It's a world game. I don't see even any problem to have 7, because I trust the people that are in charge of the clubs, and I trust the coaches as well to make sure that they come. The last thing to think about is this. We all say to our youngsters that we like our best youngsters to be playing overseas. Now, we are still a third-tier footballing nation. if we start closing doors to nations around the world to come into our shores, what do you think they're going to do in return? They're going to turn around and say, I'm sorry. You know, Robbie Slater wants to come to Blackburn. I'm sorry because, you know, in Australia, when our players want to go to Australia, use a like closed door policy. So we're not going to, they're not going to do that. They're going to turn around and say, sorry, not for us. We've got to open our doors for those doors to remain open for our youngsters.
One point of view. I think Robbie Slater has a different one.
Yeah, I've got a very different point of view, and I respect Bozza and anyone who has their views, but I find it a load of bullshit. Mm. To add more foreigners, you have to be kidding me. In a league where if you look around, the fourth and fifth foreigners in most clubs don't even play. Now, if you want to bring six foreigners and then, God forbid, seven, I mean, the game at a youth level is already in a mess. Does anyone understand where the games come at a youth level and what we're producing or rather not producing in the last 12, 13 years? Mm. It is absolutely a crime what is going on. Now, the owners need to put their heads together and fix the youth league. You touched on it, and we're going to have to wait another year for that. Mm. More foreigners. I'm all for quality. I'm not about shutting our doors, but we're not getting the quality. And what's happening with the youth in this country is a crime. This is a country that we have a failed system as a curriculum we're still teaching to our children. The Han Berger one. Mm. That's the curriculum of today. The one that has failed. We haven't qualified for an Olympic since Beijing, since he arrived. And I did a one-on-one interview with him, and he stressed about the importance of Junior World Cups, of Olympic Games. He ticks every box in the failure column. And we are teaching our kids from the age of 6 or 7 at SAP that curriculum. It's an absolute disgrace. We're teaching them to fail, and they've got nowhere to play, and we're paying thousands. And you go back to thousands of dollars. You touched on it. Mm. How to make the game affordable. I drove out to Westfield Sports High. My young fella had to play a game out there against, I think it was the Trofeiros Academy, football tech. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I had a bit of a feeling, and I looked around and I went, wow, where are those days gone that went to Westfield? You know, went to Westfield Sports High? How many of them?
Oh.
How many? Yeah. Ocon's.
Yeah. Harry.
Harry. Emma. Lucas. Mate. Where are they now?
Moy Ryan.
Moy Ryan. Yeah. So where are they now? Where are they now? And what? Why are we teaching a curriculum from a failure?
For me?
And give me quality foreigners. Yeah, and I'll open the doors. And give me a youth league that isn't bullshit of 8 games. Mm. Give me that quality and I'll say, yeah, you can bring foreign players in. And but as long as we're producing... Mm. We're producing Australian players. I can't see this. We talk about the Moy era and the Ryans and the Rogiches. What happens when they go? They've got one more campaign left in them. And the people should and the owners should
one
realize.
One more after this one, yeah. You're saying. Yeah, okay.
Well, no, I reckon this one, and they're probably done.
Maybe one more after
that. I
get the point.
It's 3 years away, the World Cup.
Yeah.
Mate,
well,
3 years
well,
ago.
How old is Matty Ryan? 26?
Yeah, 28.
He's got ages. He's got ages.
Okay, they're not all going to go on.
Yeah. Point taken.
Okay, the point also taken, how many players do we have in the top leagues? Not many. We've got two in the Premier League at the same club. Mm. Anyway, but what the owners need to realise is where you're going to make money, if that's your inspiration, which is fair enough, they're spending the money, they want to earn some money, is selling Australian players. You're not going to sell... Sorry, most foreigners are only coming to this country because they're not good enough to be over there. Mm. That's a fact. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And there's others that it's
but
a
that
lifestyle.
Could, that could change.
Yeah, and I don't want to be disrespectful.
No, but that
to
could
the
change. You could start bringing over young foreigners and sell
now
them
it's
too.
Not. But
the profile
now,
has
that's
changed
not happening.
In the last few years.
Mm. Central Coast Mariners, how many did they sell? Ryan's, Sainsbury's.
Oh, yeah, about 5,
Ross
6 years ago. They sold all the good ones.
You know,
got some
Moy, Arzani. That was Melbourne City.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to make money.
Yeah. The system as it stands right now for elite 16 to 19-year-olds is set up for failure. You mentioned how the system, the tiered system
works
in Australia.
We need to have a podcast on this subject alone.
Yeah.
Because I see the NPL doing the FFA Cup, Boz, and we've done it. And the NPL clubs are full of 22, 23, 24-year-olds, even 21, 20-year-olds of what I call the lost generation. Because you go through an LPL to go, oh, he was at there. He was at Melbourne City. He was in Adelaide. He got 2 games. He got disappeared.
So the thing that I see before you jumped in with your last point there, Rob, and point taken again, I like the passion. Love it. The 16 to 19-year-olds in this country, the elite ones, aren't getting enough football.
No.
And once we set up the youth league underneath the A-League, you're right, if... the good ones all announce themselves and get in. Connor Metcalf, Rami Nagerim for Melbourne City. I fear if more foreigners come in, those guys don't get the opportunity in
they
FFA
will,
Cups.
If they're good enough.
If they're good enough, okay. Yeah.
The thing is, and Robbie's then veered off into another subject, which is exactly right about this. I feel sorry for all these kids.
Oh,
because they've been let down. Lions led by lambs. And they've been let
mate,
down.
Mate, they think down at clubs, all the NPL clubs have got sapped. They think training a 7-8-year-old 3 times a week is the go.
Mm.
Organised training.
Nah.
I mean, what a load of crap.
Yeah. Sorry for them. And this is why the whole football ecosystem, if you like, needs a complete rejig. And it will get that with this new board.
Well, there's no economy at the moment. There's no football economy.
Do you know what it's full of? I'll tell you.
With the new board, we'll have a new CEO. The clubs now are steering their own wheel for the A-League. It's going to take a long time to undo the damage that's been done over the last...
You just don't want to see a divergence between the clubs looking after themselves and,
well, and that happens
for
football. But Adam, that happens. But the bottom line is, first and foremost as well, we've got to get the A-League right, okay? You can talk about this second division, youth league, whatever you want to talk about. First and foremost, you've got to get the A-League right, okay? Because the bottom line is, if you do not get the A-League right, I can see even bigger problems down the track for the whole sport.
I'm more interested this season, for instance, though, in seeing how Rami Nagerim goes and develops himself as a footballer than just about, three quarters of the foreigners coming into the league go.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
That's just my point of view.
The bottom line is the standard needs to improve, and the only way you're going to improve that standard, as has been shown for leagues around
Stops,
the world,
you know what?
Yeah, is to get quality people in.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. And there is the one word, quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
Get in quality.
Yeah.
Don't give me quantity.
Okay, we had a few laughs over the past 45 minutes, and we're going to end...
With another laugh?
We'll just end with a tone that suggests that we're a little bit annoyed, but we're not, really. We're just passionate.
Well, no,
Robbie's rightly so annoyed. I don't know about you, Adam, but for me personally...
I'm frustrated.
For me personally, and I said this to Robbie the other night as well, I'm a little bit annoyed at myself, and I'll tell you why. So when I came back in 2008, I came back and I could see how well things were going and the Socceroos were flying. Mm. And I thought, you know what, I could see things even back then that I thought, this is not right. But I thought to myself, can you imagine if you come out now after what's happened?
Things are going well.
Yeah. Whatever. You know, they're going to – even Robbie, thought to myself, I've known for 25 years, and Arnie would turn around and go, would you pull your head in? Shut up. But that's what I'm annoyed. So it's just going on.
Anyway.
It's just going on and on and on. And now, like I said, and I really feel sorry because, like Robbie said, for that lost generation, there's no going back. But we owe it to them and the future generation to get it right. Under the new board, Chairman Chris Nicu, and also the new CEO, which will be appointed very soon. And the fact, like I said, that the clubs have now finally got their hands on the steering wheel. It will change. It's just going to be a matter of
time.
It will change. There's no doubt about that. Because they saw the same things. You know, when you got someone like the biggest club owners in the world, the Citigroup, came down here and looked what was going on. They were like, what is going on here? Mm. Because, you know, traditionally, like Robbie said, at youth level especially, you know, under 17s, under 20s and under 23 level, you can ask Robbie, during our generation as well, and that used to go on up until 10 years ago. For about 10 years ago, that people used to go, wow, how you guys punch above your weight. You know how strong those kids are, how super fit they are, you know, and what skill do they have in their own way, in our own way, okay? From the last 10 years, all I've got from people overseas, and I got it, you know, I got it again because the under-16s went over and had 3 games right now, is people just going to me this, exactly these words, what's happened down there?
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's just well known what's happened. It's because they came here, and they told us to change. They said the Aussie fighting spirit means nothing. Well, you know, they tried to change everything. You know, I'll even go down to, you know, they took goals away from 6-year-olds because they wanted small-sided games. I mean, what a bunch of killjoys. I mean, seriously, did you really need to do that? It's still a mess now. What we followed, and I cannot believe that we're still following it.
And you know what the biggest thing is?
We're not even producing goalkeepers anymore.
People are paying through the nose for this. Mm. You know, paying through the nose for this, yeah?
One thing I do know, we're going to end it right here. One thing I do know that Robbie Slater is going to just create mayhem at the gym he's about to go to because he's got his blood flowing after all of that.
That's okay. Well, I'm going to eat so I can create mayhem as well.
Can I give you a tip? You could do with not eating for about a week.
Robbie Bozza, thanks for your company.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Fox Football Podcast. We'll catch you soon.
Where are they from?